Blog Talk Radio.
I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. If I don't love me, how can I love you? I love myself, and I love you. Hi, I'm Rama Malone, and I'm a singing story artist. Write poetry and stories, and I write songs and sing them, and I'm an artist of all types. Today, I would like to read you a story that I wrote a long, long time ago, somewhere around 1990, and it's called My Sister, and it's a story about a younger sister who wants to be like her older sister, and she never could be. She could only find out who she wanted to become and what she wanted to do. And I am an older sister. I have two younger sisters, and I had three brothers. And I never had an older sister. So in writing this story, I got to play with the idea of what would it have been like for me to have had an older sister? So here is my story coming from a long time ago, and it's set a long time ago, as most stories start, and it's called My Sister. In a time long ago, I lived a simple life in a small village in India. My parents were fairly wealthy by village standards. They abided by the laws of the land. We had a nice home. My parents had two children, and I was the younger. My elder sister was 7 years my senior. When I came into the world, she took me as her own. She would bring me everywhere with her. When I was a baby, she would show me off to all the village people and in all the shops. All the shopkeepers would laugh and play with me and put little beaded necklaces around my neck or tie ribbons on my wrist or rub a fragrant oil on my head or give me colored paper to play with. My sister would take me to the village temple at night, and priests would wave lights and sing to the Devi. The Devi means goddess, specifically a spirit that loves us and watches over us, guides and protects us through our lives, and created us. So we sang to the Devi, and the air would be full of fragrance and sweet incense and flower garlands. A special radiance came over my sister at this time of day. The priest knew us well and would give us extra coconut milk and milk sweets after the waving of lights and chanting. My sister would walk home, still singing, carrying me along the river banks as the sky turned rosy red after sunset. At night, we would fall asleep together, her arms around me and telling me wonderful stories. As I grew, my sister taught me everything, how to button my dresses, how to put on my shoes, how to braid and oil my hair, how to bathe in the hot springs by the river. She always made me laugh and laugh, and I knew that no one in the world, this whole world, loved me as much as my sister loved me. I would follow her around like a puppy. I thought she was wonderful and that she could do anything. She taught me cooking and sewing. She would make special sugar cakes for me. And if someone gave her something, she would always share it with me. She would also never let anyone hurt me. One of the village boys took a ball that I had, and she ran after him, making such a noise. She caught him and shook him and took the ball back, telling him to leave me alone or else. It seemed to me a fact that I also loved my sister more than anyone else in the world. When I was 4, my sister turned 11. Our parents started to look for a husband for my sister. She did not wish to marry and said so. The astrologers looked for some suitable young man and said that her stars were not well suited to be a householder and that they would be better off to train her as a monk. This was rare in our village. Every woman married and had babies. Our parents did not listen to the astrologers and made plans to marry her to a wealthy and arrogant young man from a neighboring village who had little respect for his parents. He had seen my sister in the marketplace while passing through the village one day and had asked his parents to arrange a marriage with her. This again broke all tradition in our village. A young man never even saw his bride prior to a wedding day, as his parents and the priests and the astrologers all made all the arrangements. My sister begged my parents to listen to her and not to marry her to this man. They would not listen. My sister became thin. Her eyes had deep circles under them, and she began to walk as if a great weight were upon her shoulders. She was very tender to me at this time, though it became harder and harder for her to laugh. A few days before the day of the marriage, she spent the whole day with me. She was lighthearted and sunny for the first time in weeks, and I lapped up her joy like a hungry kitten drinking milk. We laughed all day, and that night at the temple, she glowed like one of the brass lamps with many flames burning. She carried me home, which she did not do so often anymore, as I was bigger. And she laughed and told me stories until I fell asleep. Close to midnight, she woke me up and told me she was leaving. She said she did not want me to worry, but that she could not marry the man our parents had chosen for her, and she could not marry at all. She said, "The goddess loves me, and I love the goddess. The deity will guide and protect me, and I know I must go. You must remember always that I love you. Perhaps one day, if you are brave and strong, we shall meet again." And giving me one last hug and one last kiss, she walked out of the door into the night. My heart sank. I cried myself to sleep quietly, as I did not want to wake our parents. In the morning, they were furious that she had gone and looked for her for weeks. Her prospective bridegroom showed his true colors. His only concern was to refuse to return her dowry money. And this also destroyed my parents' hopes that they would avail of his money at some point later in their lives. He had not any concern for my sister's safety, nor did my parents. In India at that time, there were many lions and tigers. A woman traveling alone would have quickly been killed. If a girl were to leave her parents' home, she became an outcast and could never return to family life, and no man would want her for his bride. My parents were ashamed, then angry. The astrologers again told them it was destined. But they decided to behave as if she had never existed, and they would be angry at me if they ever found me crying for her. I cried myself to sleep for many years. It seemed to me I would never be as loved again in all my life. I wondered if wild animals had eaten her. I wondered if she had survived. How could she have lived? Perhaps she was caught and kept as a slave. Perhaps she found a monastery to stay in. I just did not know. I blamed the goddess. If she could be so unkind to me as to take my sister from me, was she in any way capable of being kind to my sister? How could my sister have such absolute faith to trust the deity and just walk into the night? In this way, I blamed the goddess for all my sorrows. When I became 11, however, my parents were more respectful to the astrologers. They found me a man who was considerate and respectful. I thought about running away. I was too afraid. I did not have total faith in the Devi. I wished I had the courage of my sister, and I felt badly about myself. Still, I didn't know if she had died or if she was alive. I felt if I left as she had done, I would surely die. The marriage was a gala affair. I went through it like a puppet. A few weeks after our wedding, I broke down in tears in front of my husband and told him the whole story about my sister. He listened quietly and said to me, "You are a good woman. Your love for your sister is great. We should make pilgrimages to look for her, as your heart will not rest until you know what has become of her." I was stunned that this man I had married could be so considerate. We started out to look for her and joined many bands of pilgrims going to different holy places. Each group we asked for a young woman described as my sister. Everyone shook their heads. No one had ever heard a story about her. In time, we gave up the search and returned home. I had three children and raised them in a manner that was loving, playful, and respectful. My husband was caring and kind, and I served him and my family as best I could. I remember the ache in my heart for my sister. In the moon dark periods, I would always remember her walking out the door into the moonless night so long ago. It seemed as if my heart would never heal, nor did I love my husband or children as deeply as I had loved my sister. It was as if I could never forgive myself for not leaving everything to find her. One day I spoke to my husband about this grief. He said, "I have felt your discontent for a long time. I understand it. To be honest with you, I would like to hunt wild animals and live in the wilderness. So let us plan our lives to raise our children well and then agree to part." He was an unusually good man. I gratefully agreed. About 5 years after our last child married, we settled our households and bade each other a fond farewell. I took the road to the north, to the ice mountains and sweet lakes, where many seers and sadhus lived. I asked many people along the way about my elder sister. No one had heard of such a lady. One day, I came upon a lake with lotus flowers rising from the edge, and two white swans and two black swans swimming in the middle. On the far side of the lake, I saw a small hut. A lady in white came out to feed the swans. She patted their heads and put flowers around them as they ate. She laughed at one of them trying to eat a flower, and suddenly my heart leapt. Something about the way she petted them and laughed was so anciently familiar. My heart ached as it had not in years, and I waved and walked around the lake towards the hut. The lady in white came towards me glowing, saying, "Welcome. I knew you would come." It was the same beautiful face I remembered from so long ago. Her hair had gray streaks through the black, as had mine, and the once smooth skin was creased. Both our faces were wreathed in wrinkles and smiles. I began to cry, "My sister, oh, my sister." All the grief stored in my heart for so many years began to well up in a flood of tears. I sobbed in her arms for hours. It seemed as if my life had been totally meaningless to me since she had left decades ago. Then I got mad and said, "Why didn't you let me know you were safe?" She looked at me with a profound, still gaze, which quieted me. A remarkable transformation had occurred in her. I asked, "What has happened to you?" She said, "Many years ago, I came north to this lake. No one comes here by chance. This is a sacred place, and it is protected. It was a rainy night as I climbed up this mountain. It seemed to me as if all my struggle had been in vain, that I was a fool to leave my home and forthcoming marriage. Something inside me kept me going. I hid by day and traveled by night for many, many months, always moving north. On that rainy, moonless night, I slipped on sharp rocks, and my thoughts rained down on me like the lightning arrows that flew in the night, stinging me like scorpions, that it was my pride and arrogance that had gotten me in this dreadful predicament. A light shone on top of the hill. I saw a huge tiger bounding towards me. I screamed and prayed, "Oh, Davy, save me!" And the tiger leapt upon my neck. He picked me up like a kitten in his mouth, and I fainted. When I woke, I was in this small hut, and a fire burned brightly beside me. An old man with a white beard was lifting my head to feed me hot soup. I was in a raging fever for months. One day I woke up and my wits were clear. My body did not ache. I asked him, "Where am I?" The old man said, "You are on the sacred mountain of life. All healing plants grow here. All healing crystals grow in dark stillness deep beneath the earth's surface. I am the caretaker of the mountain. No one comes here without my permission. The Devi told me she will come to take me soon, and that I should train a worthy person to take care of this sacred place when I am gone. You were the only one that dared come to this mountain, and you came in the worst weather. I know that you are a true seeker and have a pure heart and great strength of will. Because of this, I ask you, would you be willing to take care of this mountain?" My sister continued, "I felt a glow in my heart as he asked me to do this work, and I accepted. He lived for 3 more years. He taught me how to tend and nurture the plants. All their healing secrets, how to meditate on the crystals, how to care for the animals that live here and protect this place." As she spoke, a huge tiger came up beside her. I screamed. I was so afraid. She put her hand up and petted him, saying, "This is my tiger who saved my life and brought me to my teacher. He will not harm you or me. He protects this mountain with many other animals, and they are all very dear to me." I was in awe. This felt unearthly to me. I felt afraid. And then jealous. I said, I love you so much, but I feel that your skills and knowledge are so far above me. I don't know what to think. Next to you, I feel small, unaccomplished. I want to belong in your world, but I can't make the leap to be as great as you are. I feel awful. I can't forgive myself for accepting and staying in a marriage that was meaningless for me. I did not have the courage to simply walk when I wanted to go. I'm angry with myself that I couldn't trust the goddess as much as you to lead me where I should be. I feel an awful rage. My sister gazed at me deeply and said, you simply were not ready, nor were you strong enough back then. You needed to stay where you were until you had courage and strength to come. Forgive yourself. You needed to do things the way you did them. Honor yourself. When you were ready, you came. That took great courage and strength. I went into a rage and a tantrum. I was furious at my life. I screamed and yelled. I kicked the trees and rocks and then threw my body around like a tempest possessed it. My sister made me a bed of fresh green grass and flowers. I went into a fever. She let me rave on like a lunatic. She covered me with a warm blanket when I was cold. She fanned me if I became feverish. I went on like this for months. When I came to, she was holding and rocking me. I started to cry. It seemed as if all the pain and loneliness poured out of me and was absorbed by the earth. A warm glow welled up in my chest. I said, I'm starting to feel better, stronger. I walked outside with my sister. I let her tiger come up to me. I petted him. He licked my face, feet, and hands. I laughed. I rubbed his beautiful fur. I looked up at the night sky and saw a shower of shooting stars. I felt very still inside. My sister sat me down on a huge, smooth, black boulder. She said, be still now. Ask what you should do. I sat quietly. She left me alone. Again, I felt a deep, warm glow so deep inside my chest. I closed my eyes. I was being drawn in by a beautiful light. I felt deep peace, which was full of joy. It seemed as if I were underwater, and I saw my sister's face reflecting as I rose towards the water's surface. As my face came through the water's surface, my face moved into hers, as if her skin had become mine. I heard a voice inside me say, your essence and your sister's is the same. I turned and said, who is speaking? In my mind's eye, I saw a wonderful vision, a wild young woman with long tousled blonde hair came before me. She laughed and ran with great glee as if she were a child. She seemed about 17 years of age. She was so excited. She wore a long, simple dress that moved gracefully. Around her neck, she wore a single black pearl on a golden chain. She reminded me of a deer. There was something totally wild, free, lighthearted about her. I asked, "Who are you?" She said, "I am the goddess of food. It is I who help all plants and trees to grow." She said, "Come with me." I followed her into an exquisite rose garden. All the roses were white. It was early morning. I could feel the dew on the lush green grass all around the roses. The dew glistened like pearls and diamonds in the light of the new dawn. The fragrance of the white roses held me in a spell. A sense of delight and newness began to engulf me. Everywhere I looked, I beheld these exquisite white roses glistening in the new day, their fragrance released by the sun's warming rays. This wonderful wild woman said, "Now lay down here among these roses." I laid in the green grass. It seemed as if the roses grew all the way to the sky. The bushes held their blossoms high to the pink light of dawn as it slowly turned to a sapphire blue sky. They seemed eager to offer all their flowers for the sun to warm for another perfect day. It felt as if the grass, roses, and sky were singing an incredibly sweet and strengthening song. I lay there as they dropped petals on me. The young goddess picked many white roses and placed them all around me. The goddess put her black pearl around my neck. She stroked my forehead and my feet with roses. She covered my whole body with roses. It seemed as if I was being kissed by roses all over my being. She took my hands in a rough, light grasp. She told me to rest and listen to the earth for guidance, and that I would always know what to do. I gazed at her wild, open face and her still eyes. I asked her, "How can I have the courage to do what is in my heart to do? I'm so afraid." She said, "See your protection." I saw myself as a small purple creature curled up tightly with its hands and its mouth in a state of terror. I saw a huge protective angel carrying me with great love, and all around the angel's many arms held many swords. Great flames flew out in all directions. I started to feel bigger than my fear. I saw my tiny self expand, becoming the courageous angel. I was amazed. She said, be quiet now. It is not so important what you do as it is to be immersed in this wonderful golden energy. Be excited about taking charge of your own life. Half your life is past. Another half remains. I became quiet. She took some dew-laden roses and started to stroke my face and hands with them. I felt covered with fragrance. I saw my age fall from me. I looked as if I were a carefree young girl. I awoke from this dream vision with a smile. My skin was still wrinkled, yet in my heart I felt a warm golden glow, as if the essence of gold had taken residence in my heart. It was still night. I lay there quietly watching the stars. The soft golden glow in my heart expanded to fill the sky as a golden dawn opened. I heard many birds burst into song. My sister came up beside me. Her voice sounded like silver bells. Did you sleep well? She smiled. I told her of my experiences the night before. She listened and nodded. Stay with me for a while. I stayed with her and grew in beauty, peace, and my own inner love. I was joyful as I moved around the sacred mountain, sometimes with my sister and sometimes alone. My body acquired a new strength and grace and movement. One day, I felt an urge to take some clay and make an image of the goddess. I felt so wonderfully connected to my body and the earth as I made her. I built a fire around the image to bake it. In the fire, the clay assumed a wonderful color, like the dark iridescence of a black pearl. It was a wonderful image and seemed alive. My sister came and looked at it for a long time. Her eyes were dark and quite still as she gazed. She said quietly, "It's quite good." I knew in my heart that this was my true work, and I set out to continue to do that in earnest. Many wonderful images came to my mind, and in the clay and the fire, they took on a life all their own. Some of the figures were playful, others strong and stern. Every single statue came from a deep and wonderful place in my heart. I felt as if I were deeply in love with my own self. I felt as if I were a flower blooming. As I worked, I noticed one of the animals had taken an interest in me. He was a beautiful black panther. He would often walk by to see what I was doing. One day he emerged from the deep green forest and laid down at my feet while I worked. I purred in his, he purred in his great cat body, and occasionally he would lick my feet. I put my feet on his beautiful furry back. I felt quite close to him. I loved to see him prowl through the jungle foliage and catch glimpses of him among the distant hills. One day, I knew I needed to go. I told my sister, I have spent my life longing to be with you. Now that I am with you, you have given me all the love I ever wanted. I can't understand why I would ever want to leave, yet I feel pulled to go on. I don't know where. It seems ungrateful to be restless. My heart is full of gratitude to you. I know I must go. She smiled. She said, your work is your work. My work is mine. This does not make us any less close. It is good for you to go. It is good for you. And it is good for me. You can go, and you can come again. As many times as you go, you can always return, like the moon becoming full, and then dark, and then full again. Your panther will go with you. We bade each other a fond farewell. I built a raft. I put the images on the raft. I floated them down the river that poured from the lake. I went down to a golden town along the river banks. The priests of the town were bathing in the river the morning I arrived. They looked at me as if I were very strange indeed. I showed them my images of the goddess, and they first looked surprised, and then danced around like excited children, remembering what drew them as young boys to the Devi. One priest with a dark scowl of suspicion came up and admonished them to remember their position. One young priest said, she is reminding us who we are, and our position does not seem to be of any importance. He sneered, and his scowl darkened like a thundercloud. He came up to me and said, let us touch your goddess figures. If the goddess of the river approves of them, then we will honor them. I did not like this man, but the river swirled playfully around my feet. I remembered my protective angel. I saw my panther move in the hills beyond. I placed my statues, one by one, on the water. To my surprise, they did not sink. The river played with each statue. It whirled around and gave a splashing bath. It held each one high on a wave and lifted it onto a rock along the river banks, sparkling with water in the sunlight, and gave each statue a final spindrift spray of water and sparkling sunlight as it gently left each statue in place. The priests were amazed and laughed like excited children. The scowling priest said, oh, my brother, you are deluded. This mere woman must be a sorceress. This time they looked at him darkly. How could anyone doubt the river goddess' blessing of this statue? A great wave came up and slapped the scowling priest, knocking him down, dragging him out into the water, and whirling him all around. Then the river goddess herself emerged from the water and threw him unceremoniously back upon the shore. He was very frightened. The goddess spoke, "Have caution, O venerable lord. You worship the goddess, but if you despise women, you insult me. This woman loves and listens to me and expresses all my many moods. You can learn much of me from her and increase your delight in this world. Do not misconstrue a great event. Help this lady. Honor her and her work." Saying this, the river Devi merged back into the water. The priest came up to me and asked, "May we purchase these images from you for our temple?" I agreed. They offered me the weight of each statue in gold and in silver, and they honored them as a true image of the goddess. They wanted to take the statues inside the temple. I told them the goddess wanted to be in a garden. They placed each one on a beautiful rock throughout the dry and dusty temple grounds. I had them purchase many white roses, which they planted all around the garden. An underground stream meandered throughout the land, so the roses all grew quickly. Within a year, an abundance of white flowers and fragrance made the temple grounds seem an enchanted place. Everyone who came there left feeling younger and happier. The monks were always laughing and playful now as they cared for their new garden. I roamed the hillsides in early morning and early evening. I felt restless. One day, I found a beautiful outcropping of red rock. It looked to me like a reclining, relaxed goddess. I felt a tremendous pull to this place, as if my soul were being fed there. I saw later, as I spent more time there, that a tremendous shaft of energy from the earth opened up in front of the rock goddess, and I would lay there to let it fill me with its strong energy. I built a small hut within a grove of trees. A small creek. I have some outside noise. I have the window open. Please forgive me, the storyteller. A small creek cradled my red rock goddess hut, and a grove of trees then wound down the hillside to join the river. I settled into being there and doing my work. During the day, I would see my panther out among the distant hills and trees. A warm wind would come up late in the afternoon. I would always dance to feel the breeze in my hair and on my skin. I started to sense my sister's presence. I would look up as if I had almost seen her. I could sense her only a short distance from me, always over to my right. Sometimes it seemed as if she slept inside me. Sometimes not. I started to feel so perfect in my own life. in my own small and wonderful purpose. My own self felt complete, full, and radiant. I found that all the love I ever wanted was now welling up from inside me. Often at night, my panther would come and nap at my feet as I gazed into a small fire I built each evening. I would watch and listen to the fire crackle and snap and send small sparks and smoke up into the sky. One day I went to visit my sister. We met so joyfully this time. We spent many happy months together, she tending her plants, crystals, and creatures, I making my statues. In the evening, we would tell each other stories and make each other laugh. We fell asleep watching the stars shine on us. The stars filled us with their soft light, as if telling us their stories, until they faded into the light of a new day. We visited happily until once again it came time for me to return to my home to continue my work. That is the end of my story, my sister. Please forgive the outside noises that are filtering in. I live in a busy town outside. They're making noises. I want to leave you with a few things. I want to share a beautiful poem with you about walking in dewgrass. And I want to say, my friends who love and support me, you know who you are. And if there are new friends who love and support me and who want to offer me encouraging words or cash, I've set up an account at GoFundMe called Singing Story Artist. And you can leave thoughts and any amount that you wish to offer will be most welcome. It helps me physically and spiritually. It uplifts me to keep doing my work. So I want to thank you all. And again, you know who you are, who have supported me for many years. I'm going to leave you with a poem I wrote. I love to take walks in the dewgrass barefoot in the morning. And that's what this poem is about. There is a kind of dewgrass, a blue-green gray grass among the green in my great circle of green, especially soft, laden with dew, holding more water, all grass green and blue is lovely to walk in. At dawn as I do, barefoot across my wide circle of green, the green, blue, gray grass is especially soft, full of water, and my feet seek their welcoming washing and love to land in. My feet seek their welcoming love to land in. In some ways, we're all landing on this earth, wanting to find a wonderful, soft, welcoming landing. I welcome you to find your own right way. And I'll just go out with the song I sang at the beginning. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. If I don't love me, how can I love you? I love myself, and I love you. Bye for now. This is singing story artist Rama Malone.